Bava Metzia, Perek Hey, Mishnah Beis. The Mishnah will go on to discuss where there are rabbinic restrictions with things that look like ribbis. And I want to just emphasize what I said in the previous Mishnah, that ribbis really should be looked at as an ethic that the Torah is trying to convey in how you relate to your fellow Jew, that you should lend to him interest-free. It's a chesed to him, and to charge him interest is almost like a hostile act. And probably the best way to sort of to see that in the halacha, how it's reflected, is that when it comes to other financial protections that the Torah puts in place regarding other people's property rights, the person who's supposed to be protected could waive those rights if he wanted to. In other words, you have a mitzvah not to steal from me, but if I say go ahead and take it, you could. You have a mitzvah to return my lost object. If I say go ahead and keep it, you could. When it comes to the restrictions on ribbis, it's not that way. If the borrower says, I don't mind paying you ribbis, the Torah says, no, that's forbidden. The borrower and the lender both are participating in multiple isuri deraisa in such a transaction, even if the protected person, so to speak, the borrower, doesn't mind. He wants to waive his rights. He can't. And therefore, you see, for example, that the halachas of ribbis are taught in Yoredeya, not in Choshen Mishpat, because they're really as much Beinam L'Makom as they are Beinam L'Chaver, as much like a law where Hashem is taking sort of a personal interest in his children, his fellow Jew, our fellow Jews, as opposed to like sort of like some civil law where you're supposed to, you know, not defraud your fellow Jew as a citizen. Right? So with that said, we're going to see here that the rabbis extended things a lot, and now we're going to talk about things that are not Doraisa, but Darabanan. So here we see, Hamalva es Chavero, if one lends to his friend, lo yadur b'chatzero chinam. So the lender may not stay in the borrower's, call it guest house, for free. Rental apartment for free. Now, the idea is that it's a loan, but it's not a isa d'oraisa of k'tutza, because it's not a situation in which the deal was, I'll lend you the $100 in exchange for not just returning my $100, but also letting me have free rent. That would be for sure d'oraisa. Okay? But if I just lend you money, and then afterwards I say, you know what, do me a favor, I need a place to stay tonight, can I please stay in your house? That's also a problem, because it looks like ribbis. Because at the end of the day, what am I getting? I'm getting my principal back, the $100 I lent you, plus a free night in your rental place. This applies even if you're not renting it out. In other words, if it's your private, you know, basement where you don't rent it out anyways, still, Lamaisa, any time that what's happening is not the kind of thing that you're doing for me because we're friends anyways, you wouldn't have necessarily done it if I hadn't loaned you the money. It's an expression of gratitude, or, you know, you feel otherwise pressed into doing it because of the debt of gratitude you had to me, or the loan that's outstanding, that would be an iser derabanan. Okay? Meaning, in contrast, if every day you give a ride to your friend to go to shul, and then he lends you money, you don't say, I can't give you a ride today because, you know, that would be ribbis. No. But if you wouldn't usually have him over for Shabbos, but I lend you money, now you feel like you got to have him over, that would be ribbis madurabanan. Okay? Avak ribbis. Similarly, velo yiskor mimenu b'pachot, you also can't rent, the borrower can't rent out the lender, let's say his guest apartment, for less than the going rate. Again, that'd be like sort of a favor where the lender's getting an economic benefit, and that makes it like avak ribbis, because he's getting a benefit besides for return of his principal. Bipnei shu ribbis, because that's ribbis, and again, if it was katsutsa, if it was the deal was set up the way from the beginning of the loan, it would be ribbis d'oraisa. Otherwise, it just looks like ribbis, and it's ribbis midurabanan. Okay, that's part one of the Mishnah. Now, part two of the Mishnah has like a headline, a koteret, a topic sentence. It says, marbin al hasachar ve'ein marbin al mecher. You're allowed to increase the rent, but you can't increase the sale price. Now, I'll explain that in a minute. The Mishnah doesn't need to be explained yet. It's going to give both those examples. Ketzad. So what's the situation where it's permitted to increase the rent? So the case is something like this. Hiskir lo es chatzero. The renter is trying to rent out his apartment. And he says to the prospective renter, im achshavata nosenli, if you're giving the money right now, harehu lacha be'eser slan l'shana. I'll give it to you right now for $10,000 for the year. 10 slime, okay? $10,000 for the year. Upfront payment. But, v'im shel chodesh b'chodesh b'sela l'chodesh. If you want to rent it out by the month, so then you got to pay me $1,000 a month for the 12 months, meaning in total you're paying $12,000. So again, if you pay upfront, you get it for 10. If you pay month by month, you get it for 12. So it sounds like we got a kind of like a quasi-riba situation going over here. But the answer is no, it's totally permitted. Why is it mutter? Because, okay, so the step one. The principle is when it comes to rent, the rent is due, it's earned by the person who owns the property at the end of the rental period, meaning at the end of the month. So at the end of each month now, the rent becomes due, lahalacha, not at the beginning of the month, okay? Now, what's the, I'll call it the fair price, the market price, the ask price of the rent? Since it's month by month and the end of the month price is 1,000 per month, or one sella per month, so then that's the fair price. That's the price. And what the person who's trying to rent out his apartment is doing is saying, I'll give you a discount if you give me everything up front now. Okay, so giving a discount, he's getting the money. It's not like I'm giving, he's not getting extra. And that being the case, that's not called ribbis. Now, if you'll ask, wait a second, I get it that the renter is giving a discount, but look at it from the person, like the person who's renting it out, who's the landowner. But let's say the tenant. Okay, the tenant, why don't we say the tenant is kind of doing a ribbis transaction? Because the tenant is giving 10 now at the beginning of the period and is getting a benefit of 12 later. So it sounds like he's getting benefit of 12 months of rent. So it sounds like he's sort of, in exchange for foregoing his money earlier, he's getting, for waiting, like for giving money ahead of time, he's getting extra. Okay, so why isn't that a riba situation, at least midura bottom? Okay, as a commercial transaction where, you know, where you're doing something like that. Because we did say you're not allowed, for example, to say, I'll give you $10 now for $12 worth of wheat in the future. No, that would definitely not be allowed. So why is it okay over here? So the answer is, it's because the whole transaction is happening at the same time, at the beginning. In other words, when the tenant gives the 10 slum, the $10,000 for the year, so he now gets full rights for the whole year. It's not incremental. The proof of that is that the owner of the apartment can't renege, can't take it back. He can't say in the middle of the period, you know, I want to take it back and give it to somebody else. No, he can't. He's given it for the whole year away. So since the transaction is happening all at once, there's no like deferral of compensation or deferred in the future some other kind of payment. No, it's a simple transaction at the beginning. I'm giving you 10,000. You're giving me, or 10 slum, you're giving me a year of rights to rent this apartment. That's happening right now, and that's it. So since there's no payments in the future, there's no deferred compensation, no increase of compensation, it's not a ribbis problem, period. And that principle would apply for any kind of rent, only if, let's say, a person's renting himself out as a worker, you know, working by the hour, or if he's renting out his car. All those things, it's the same thing. You could say, listen, by the day, it's $1 a day, but if you take it for the month, I'll give it to you for 25 for the whole month if you take it up front. Same kind of thing. That's all permitted. Okay? On the flip side, we said that you're not allowed to be marbin al hamecher. You can't increase the sale price. So what does that mean? For example, machal esadehu, the person who owns a field is selling to the guy who wants to buy the field. Va'amarlo, and the original owner, says to the prospective buyer, imma achshavata nosen li, if you pay me right now, harehi shelcha be'elef zuz, I'll give it to you right now for 1,000 zuz. But, ve'im lagoren b'shneima sarmana, if you want to wait until the harvest season, you'll have cash then because the field will produce for you and then you'll get cash from selling what it grows, so you have more money, then I'll sell to you then you pay me then 1,200, not 1,000, but 1,200 zuz. So that's usur. Why is it usur? It's usur midrabanan, because that's like good old-fashioned financing. It's trade financing. It's basically saying, either I'm saying that I want, this thing is worth $1,000 or 1,000 zuz, and I'll sell it to you right now for that. But if you want me to finance your purchase, so then you don't pay me now, but you'll pay me more later. So what does that mean? I'm getting paid for waiting. I mean, I'm getting compensated for waiting to get paid. That's exactly what ribbis is, right? The spirit of ribbis is, I'm giving you $1,000, I'm waiting to get my money back, so I'm asking you for $1,200 when you pay me back to you. That's good old-fashioned ribbis. Here it's a similar kind of thing. I'm saying I'm giving you something worth $1,000 now, the field, but when you pay me, you have to pay me back something worth $1,200, the payment in the future. So that's like a financing of a transaction, any kind of layaway plan, trade finance, and so on, where you're essentially getting paid more. This is the essential point. You're getting paid more to wait for the payment. That is, at least rabbinically, forbidden. It's like avak ribbis. It's like ribbis midrabbanan. Again, it's only midrabbanan because it's structured as a commercial transaction and not as a loan. But if you think about it, it's very similar. Meaning, you could easily, let's say that just if you break it up into two separate transactions, you'll see why it could be a loan altogether. In other words, if instead of buying the field and doing this financing directly with the current owner, so Shimon wants to buy Reuven's field, Reuven says 1,000 or 1,200 later. So then Shimon says, I haven't got 1,000 now, what'll I do? I'll go to the bank, I'll tell the bank, listen, lend me 1,000 now and I'll pay you 1,200 later. And then when I have the money. And then Shimon goes and gives 1,000 now to the current owner. So that purchase is for 1,000, but you see it was financed by the bank, and that bank would be a ribbis d'oraisa situation because he's committing to pay more in the future. So in our case here, it's only derabbanan because it's not structured alone, but it's exactly the same thing economically, if you will, and that's what the rabbis forbade it, at least it's asur mederabbanan.